Douglas Stavanger. After Gilda Nordquist's brief unsettling visit, Stavanger decided that he had to talk with Jordan Kell, but he didn't know how to reach the man. If he slipped through Anita's security people, he won't be easy to find, Stavanger realized. Then he remembered that Nordquist claimed Kell had spent a night at Councilman Rudaki's home, so he called Rudaki. Looking uncomfortable, Rudaki grudgingly admitted that Kell had headed for Chicago. "But he's not there now, I'm sure," the councilman insisted. Chicago meant Mitchell Thornberry, the multimillionaire scientist businessman who had been to New Earth with Kell. Thornberry seemed uneasy, too. "I shouldn't talk about that. I've got too many World Council security boyos snooping through my offices as it is, and they're listening to my phone calls, you can be sure of that." "I understand," Stavanger said, admiring the man's stubborn loyalty to his friend. "Thanks anyway." "I wish there was some way I could help," Thornberry said, looking almost embarrassed. "I understand," Stavanger repeated. Less than half an hour later, Stavanger's phone buzzed. "Answer," he called out. The phone screen remained blank, but a man's voice, Thornberry's it sounded like, called out a 12-figure number. Then the call abruptly cut off. Stavanger ordered his phone to trace the origin of the call. Digby Odell's pub in Chicago. With a smile, he understood that Thornberry had made the call from a phone that the World Council security agents were unlikely to be monitoring. "I hope he had a pint of Guinness while he was there," Stavanger said to himself. In the Longyear home, Jordan had just slipped into Paul's old bed when his pocket phone rang. Startled, he remembered that it was the phone Mitch had given him. Could Aditi be calling on that number? He leaned over and picked up the phone from the bedside table. The holographic viewer across the room showed a man sitting in an easy chair. Jordan immediately recognized him. Douglas Stavanger. "Hello, Mr. Kell," Stavanger said, his face serious, almost stern. "Mr. Stavanger," said Jordan, "how did you ever find this number?" Stavanger explained Thornberry's secretive assistance, ending with, "So the chances of our being overheard by security agents are pretty low." "But not zero." "No," Stavanger admitted, "not zero." The 3-second lag between their words told Jordan that Stavanger was indeed on the moon. "I can make it zero," said Jordan. Later that night, when Aditi called him, Jordan asked her to set up a link between him and Stavanger at Cellini.
"Why does he want to speak with you?" she asked,
her beautiful face taut with concern. "I'm not sure, dearest," Jordan replied, "but I'm certain that Mitch helped him locate me, and he's just as wary of Halleck's eavesdropping as we are."
"You don't think he's working for Halleck?"
"No, I honestly don't. Everything I've ever heard about Stavanger tells me he's fought to keep Cellini free of domination by the World Council." Aditi looked doubtful, but she said,
"I'll ask Adri to help me set up the link. Give me a few hours."
It was nearing 2 a.m. when the holographic viewer in the Longyear bedroom chimed, waking Jordan, and lit up to show Douglas Stavanger sitting in a cushioned chair in a windowless room, looking halfway between pleased and puzzled. "Mr. Kell," he began.
"Jordan."
Stavanger smiled tentatively and said, "Fine, I'm Doug."
"My wife explained the FDL link to you?" Jordan asked.
"Sort of. I'm not sure how it works, but apparently it's eliminated the time lag between here and Earth."
"And it can't be tapped."
His smile widening, Stavanger said, "That's a great advantage. We can talk without being overheard. So, now that you found me, what do you want to talk to me about?" "I want you to know that the independent nation of Cellini would undoubtedly offer you sanctuary if you could get here, and your wife too, of course."
"That's very kind of you, but I don't see how I could avail myself of your offer at the moment."
"Not everyone on the World Council approves of the way Anita Halleck is treating you." Smiling ruefully, Jordan said, "I just don't understand what she's afraid of. Surely she doesn't believe this alien invasion twaddle?"
"She's afraid of you, Mr. Kell. She's afraid you're after her chair."
"Nonsense. That's not the way she sees it. I'm no threat to her. I'm not interested in politics." Stavanger's smile turned skeptical.
I believe it was Pericles who said that the Athenians regarded a man who takes no interest in politics not as a harmless man, but as a useless man. Jordan puffed out a breath. You mean that I'm involved in politics whether I like it or not? You should be. The World Council is very powerful, isn't it? Nodding, Stavanger said, And Anita is making it more powerful every year. She's been gathering all the threads of power into her own hands ever since she became the council's chairwoman. His face tightening into a frown, Jordan asked, But why? Why is she doing this? How can the council and the rest of the world's people allow her to?